ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are studying second canto, chapter number 3, Pure Devotional Service, text number 19. Shiva vidvara hoshtra karai samstutak purushak pashu nayat karna pato peito jato nama gadadrajaha. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. Purport. This is text number 19. This is one of the key verses of the whole Bhagavatam. Shiva vidvara hoshtra karai samstutak purushak pashu na yat karna to peto jato nama gadagraja. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, the deliverer from evils. Purport. The general mass of people, unless they are trained systematically for a higher standard of life and spiritual values, are no better than animals. And in this verse, they've been particularly put on the level of, you hear that dog barking? Yeah. Dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Modern, see, here we are reciting the Bhagavatam. What is the dog doing? He's barking. Someone who is not willing to hear the Bhagavatam, they are compared to a dog. Modern university education practically prepares one to acquire a doggish mentality with which to accept the service of a greater master. After finishing a so-called education, the so-called education, notice Prabhupada's sarcasm here, so-called education. He's saying education in a sarcastic way, in other words. After finishing a so-called education, the so-called educated persons move like dogs from door to door with applications for some service. And mostly they are driven away informed of no vacancy. Now, I listened to some lectures of Prabhupada on this verse. Prabhupada paints an image of the dog like this. He has the diploma in his mouth. He comes in like this, you know, humbly bowing down with his head. And Prabhupada said, the tail between the legs. You see, when a dog is very humiliated, he'll put his tail down between the legs. So Prabhupada said, then his tail is like this. So he comes in, he has the diploma like this. You know, I'm qualified dog from such and such dog university, you see. Comes in,
will you please accept me? Will you please be my master?
Is he? And they say, no vacancy. So he goes to the next, he again.
Will you please accept me as your dog? Please, please.
No vacancy. And this way he goes begging for a master, you see. So this is the modern day university education system. They train you to become a qualified dog. As dogs are negligible animals and serve the master faithfully for bits of bread, a man serves a master faithfully without sufficient rewards. The fact is, these corporations squeeze every drop of blood out of you and give you as little pay as possible. We've seen this practically. It's a matter of supply and the law of supply and demand. They will squeeze as much as they can out of you and give you absolutely the least amount of money they can get away with and still keep you. That's the strategy of modern day corporate America and elsewhere. So what Prabhupada is saying here is very, very, very true. Very true. Persons who have no, and the dog is confirming it, persons who have no discrimination in the matter of foodstuff and who eat all sorts of rubbish are compared to hogs. Hogs are very much attached to eating stools, especially we see in Vrindavan, how they go into that. The Vrindavan, they have, you, how many of you have been to Vrindavan? You've been. Yeah. They have the open sewers on the side of the road. And I have seen the hog, they get down there in the sewer where the stool comes out, and they go through there, you see, to eat up the stool. And after they've filled up their belly, what do? They lay down in that stool and urine water and take a nap. Ah, this is the life. And I even took a picture one time of the hog lying there in the stool and urine water. I brought a slide picture back to show the how they do. So, Baba continues, so stool is a kind of foodstuff for a particular type of animal. And even stones are eatables for a particular type of animal or bird. But the human being is not meant for eating everything and anything. He is meant to eat grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, sugar, etc. Animal food is not meant for the human being. For chewing solid food, the human being has a particular type of teeth meant for cutting fruits and vegetables. The human being is endowed with two canine teeth. There's two canine teeth we have in our mouth. Like the canine animals who eat meat. He supposes that this is a concession for persons who will eat animal food at any cost. It is known to everyone that one man's food is another man's poison. Human beings are expected to accept remnants of food offered to Lord Krishna, and the Lord accepts foodstuff in the categories of leaves, flowers, fruits, etc. Bhagavad Gita 9:26. Many people will argue, well, where in the Bhagavad Gita does it say you can't eat meat, fish, and eggs? Where does Krishna say that? You Hare Krishnas are fanatics, you know. Krishna doesn't say you can't eat meat. You see, they will argue like that. But that's a bogus argument, because Krishna says in the third chapter, devotee should only eat yajna shishna. Yajna shishta. The results of sacrifice. In other words, they will only take food which has been offered to Krishna. You see, that's the injunction. And then in chapter 9, Krishna explains what he will accept. If someone visits your home, and they say, well, what do you like? I'm going to be cooking for you while you're here. Please let me know what you like on your menu. You say, well, I'll take fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains. Well, it's very clear. This person's a vegetarian. They don't want any meat, fish, or eggs. Because they describe what they want. So Krishna says what he wants. This is what I'll take. Patram pushpam palam tayam. This is my diet. He says you should only eat food which is offered to me, and this is my diet. So it's very clear that Krishna doesn't want any meat, fish, or eggs. Otherwise he would have said, you know, give me patram pushpam palam tayam along with meat, fish, and egg. But since Krishna has not requested meat, fish, and eggs, we can understand that they are not suitable to offer to him, nor are they suitable for us to consume, because we only take his prasad. As prescribed by Vedic scriptures, no animal food is offered to the Lord. Therefore, a human being is meant to eat a particular type of food. He should not imitate the animals to derive so-called vitamin values. Therefore, a person who has no discrimination in regard to eating is compared to a hog. So now Prabhupada is very systematically covering this verse. It's shva vidvara ushtrakara. Vidvara means, varaha means a hog, but vidvara means the village hog. Are you sleeping back there? Or are you hearing me? Sit up. Sit up. I want to make sure you're hearing. I want to see how you're with us. You're not taking a nap. Yeah, come close. That's good. Everyone can come close. I asked everyone, when I first came, everybody was sitting way out there. So I kind of reeled everyone in, you know. Come on in. So the upa in Upanishad means closer, sitting close. Upa means close. So we're meant to be close to the Bhagavatam. I'm touching it. So the closer you get to the Bhagavatam, the more you get its shakti, you see? So we should always get as close as possible to the Bhagavatam. That is how we get mercy. So now Prabhupada has covered two of the points. Now he's going on to the third one, the camel. That is ushtra, camel. The camel is a kind of animal that takes pleasure in eating thorns. A person who wants to enjoy family life or the worldly life of so-called enjoyment is compared to the camel. Materialistic life is full of thorns, and so one should live only by the prescribed method of Vedic regulations just to make the best use of a bad bargain. Life in the material world is maintained by sucking one's own blood. What is Prabhupada talking about? Let's see. You speak English? English? Yeah. Do you have any idea what Prabhupada means when he says that material life is maintained by sucking one's own blood? Did you ever suck your own blood? You did? Really? You cut yourself and then suck the blood?
Hmm? Sometimes, you know, I was that they did when I tried.
What is that for?
Sometimes the cut. When you get cut in your finger or something, you suck your blood.
Oh. What is the benefit of doing that?
If your blood goes inside.
Oh, you don't waste your blood. How you retrain it. That's an interesting concept. I didn't know that they do that in Fiji. They suck their own blood. But yeah, okay. I learned something today. Okay, so. But Prabhupada is not talking about that. He's talking about something else. The central point of attraction for material enjoyment is sex life. To enjoy sex life is to suck one's own blood. And there is not much more to be explained in this connection. The camel also sucks its own blood while chewing thorny twigs. The thorns the animal eats cuts the tongue of the camel, and so blood begins to flow within the camel's mouth. The thorns, mixed with fresh blood, create a taste for the foolish animal, and so he enjoys the thorn-eating business with false pleasure. Now, one thing we should understand, even if you suck your own blood, that doesn't mean you're retaining it. You're not actually retaining it because it comes out as you're in urine, and it goes and becomes urine. You see. You may retain part of it if you suck it. But it's not that, well, you won't lose any blood, that you could save your life by, if you were bleeding to death, you couldn't just, put a cup there and keep drinking it and it would stay alive. You understand? I'm bleeding to death, so I'll just collect, put a little drain underneath my bed or whatever and collect it all and just keep drinking it. So I'll be okay. No, you'll still bleed to death. Similarly, the great big business magnates, industrialists, work very hard to earn money by different means and questionable means. They eat the thorny results of their actions mixed with their own blood. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is situated, these diseased fools are diseased fellows along with the camels. So what's happening is, one who has sex life, unnecessarily. See, in Krishna consciousness, once in a month, right? If I'm trying to make my wife pregnant, then I'm allowed sex once in a month. Now, any sex life beyond that is unnecessarily passing semina. So here, passing of semina is considered to draining the blood out of your body. Because as Prabhupada explains, it takes 40 drops of 40 drops of blood to make one drop of semina. You see. So anyone who is passing semina unnecessarily by illicit sexual activities, you see, they're simply draining the blood out of their body. That's all. It's like taking a razor blade and just draining the blood out of it. Oh, it feels so good. Ah, you see. So that sex pleasure means you're simply slashing your wrist and you're draining the blood out of your body. So the camel is compared because he's eating the thorny twigs and thinking, oh, they taste so good, but it's just his own blood, that's all. He's weakening himself by his so-called eating. He doesn't realize he's cutting his own tongue and drinking his own blood. Do you understand this point? Or are you sleeping? See, try to understand every point. Do you realize that any minute we can leave our body? That's why we have to stay focused on Krishna consciousness. I have a saying. That saying is, live every day as if it's your last. Because one day it will be. And why every day? Every moment. Live every moment as if it's your last. If someone thinks, well, I'm giving class, so I certainly wouldn't leave my body when I'm giving class. But one of my godbrothers did. Gaur Govindaswamy was giving class and he left his body while he was giving class. Just out of the blue. You never know. You could be sitting here hearing Bhagavatam class and leave your body. So you think you should pay attention to the class? Or let your mind go off and you see, pay attention. This may be your last moment. Pay attention. Now Prabhupada continues with the fourth type of animal. That is Kadai, the ass. The famous ass. The braying ass. Hee-haw, hee-haw. The ass is an animal who is celebrated as the greatest fool even amongst the animals. The ass works very hard and carries burdens of the maximum weight without making a profit for itself. The ass is generally engaged by the washerman, whose social position is not very respectable. And the special qualification of the ass is that it is very much accustomed to being kicked by the opposite sex. When the ass begs for sexual intercourse, he is kicked by the fair sex, yet he still follows the female for such sexual pleasure. A henpecked man is compared, therefore, to the ass. The general mass of people work very hard, especially in the age of Kali. In this age, the human being is actually engaged in the work of an ass, carrying heavy burdens and driving tela and rickshaws. I've seen it in India. I was shocked. I saw some man, there was a cart with a huge heavy burden. There was a human being working like a beast of burden, running through the streets of India with his cart with his huge weight. You see, he's struggling and he just gets a few rupees, just barely enough to even stay alive. He's not even eating enough to stay healthy. And he's carrying this huge burden. You see. It's horrible. So these are, and then his only pleasure, he goes home at night and he has sex, 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 sex. He bleeds himself his own energy. His wife henpecks him like anything. And all day long he pulls this huge cart and they hardly pay him anything. It's horrible existing. The so-called advancement of human civilization has engaged a human being in the work of an ass. The laborers in great factories and workshops are also engaged in such burdensome work. And after working hard during the day, the poor laborer has to again be kicked by the fair sex, not only for sex enjoyment, but also for so many household affairs. So it's a very sad situation. The poor fellow, you know, he works like an ass, and he comes home and he's treated like an ass by the wife. And the women are also mistreated. Everyone's mistreated. So Srimad Bhagavatam's categorization of the common man without any spiritual enlightenment into the society of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses is not at all an exaggeration. Leaders of such ignorant masses of people may feel very proud of being endured by such a number of dogs and hogs, but that is not very flattering. And Prabhupada commented in his lecture on this verse. He said, when the animals vote, you see, who will they elect? When the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses get together to vote, who will they vote for? They will vote for another dog, hog, camel, and ass. That's, they will just find some big dog, some big hog, some big camel, and big ass, and they'll put him in charge. So Prabhupada said, who will they vote for? Another pashu, another animal. The Bhagavatam openly declares that although a person may be a great leader of such dogs and hogs, disguised as men. Just think of Fiji, you know. You got your prime minister there. You see, he's the leader of the dogs and the hogs. That's all. He's a big dog and hog. And he's voting, being voted for by the dogs and the hogs. That's all. If he has no taste for being enlightened in the science of Krishna, such a leader is also an animal and nothing more. He may be designated as a powerful, strong animal or a big animal, but in the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is never given a place in the category of man on account of his atheistic temperament. Or in other words, such godless leaders of dogs and hog-like men are bigger animals with the qualities of animals in greater proportion. In other words, they're the worst ones. They're the worst animals. They're more animalistic than the people who elected them. They're the worst. We see that the politicians are very low class. Lying, cheating, taking bribes. It's horrible, politicians. They have no scruples, anything for power and profit. Srila Prabhupada has given a purport, a footnote for the purport. But we have only 5 minutes left, so I'll see if there's any questions. Anyone have any questions? Yes?
Saying that they suck out blood.
Saying what?
Sucking of the blood.
Yes. Yes, one may accidentally cut yourself. Certainly you wouldn't cut yourself for the sake of drinking your own blood, would you? You wouldn't do that. One may accidentally cut and then try to save some of the blood by sucking it. That's one thing. But to intentionally cut yourself, you see, this illicit sex life is in knowingly cutting yourself, knowingly passing semen. Some people say, the more I pass seminar, the more I enjoy it. They think, the more I can pass seminar, the better. If I can pass it, you know, two or three times a day, that's great. Let me just pass it as much as I can. It feels so good. You see? It's crazy. It's just madness. Any other question? So we'll read the footnote now. Human life is for earning values. This is called artha dham, that which can deliver values. And what is the greatest value of life? It is the return home back to God, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 8:15. One's selfishness must be aimed at the path of going back to Godhead. The ass does not know his self-interest, and it works very hard for others only. A person who works very hard for others only, forgetting his personal interest available in the human form of life, compared to the ass. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana it is said, Ashatim Chaturashchaiva Lakshans Tanjiva Jatisu Paramadvi Purushai Prapyam Manusham Jamaparyayat Tadapyabalam Tam Jata Tesham Atma Bhimaninam Avarakanam Manashvitya Govinda Charana dvayam. The human life is so important that even the demigods in the higher planets sometimes aspire for a human body on this earth, because in the human body only can one easily go back to Godhead. In spite of having obtained such an important body, if one does not re-establish his lost relationship with Govinda, Lord Krishna, he is certainly a fool who has forgotten his self-interest. This human form of life, or this human form of material body, is obtained by a gradual process of evolution to one body after another in the cycle of 8,400,000 varieties of life. And the poor man, forgetting this importance for his own interest, involves himself in so many illusory engagements for uplifting the position of others as a leader of political emancipation and economic development. There is no harm in trying for political emancipation or economic development, but one should not forget the real aim of life. All such philanthropic activities must be dovetailed to returning to Godhead. One who does not know this is compared to the ass who works only for others without their or his own welfare in mind. So the politician claims to be working for the benefit of others. You see? But he's actually not working for their welfare nor for his own. So, when should we pass these on? After the Guru Puja, we have Radha-damodara's Mahaprasadam for everyone. So we thank you very much for kindly coming today, setting a good example for the others, how important it is to come for the Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya means every day you must hear Bhagavatam. So you all are the acharyas here in Latoka. You're setting the example, so kindly keep up this nice example. And I hope that the next time I come to Latoka, this temple room will be packed for Bhagavatam class. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.